This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Hey, this is Iggy Pop, and you're listening to 95 BFM.
Hey, everybody, what's up?
Kia ora.
Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Hey, how you going?
So, yeah, I'm all right, actually.
So, listeners, you may have heard from that sting that we might be doing a bit of...
Well, there's a little hint there, just a little one, you know. Yeah, we're looking at the Stooges, the second album they put out, called Funhouse, which is turning 50.
Or Funhouse, if you pronounce it that way.
Exactly.
Sorry.
So, let's just go back in time a bit.
Okay.
To 1969. We're going to travel back in time.
60s.
60s. Ugh.
Yuck.
Well, Iggy Pop did famously say he helped wipe out the 60s.
Why? It was a disease, apparently. It was a problem.
So in 1969, the Stooges, they released their debut album to mixed reviews and mediocre sales. And with this, their label boss basically said, I don't have much hope for you continuing as a band.
Well.
But reluctantly, he let them go back. Gave them some money to go into the studio again and come up with another album, try a second time round. And they paired up with this guy called Don Gallucci and booked them some studio time in early 1970. But it turns out the producer, this guy Gallucci, he wasn't really interested in them either, but they'd already booked the studio, so he had no choice to go into the studio and work with them reluctantly. And they set the band up in the studio like they would usually play live, because they really wanted to capture the sound like a live sound on record, exactly as you'd hear it in a concert situation. And in addition to the lineup, though, from the debut record, they brought in this guy on saxophone called Steve Mackay, which is quite an interesting kind of change. They're bringing a sax player into a kind of proto-punk garage rock band. You don't often see that. And in addition to this line, a change of direction stylistically kind of happened on here as well. The sound of this record is more, I guess, hard rock oriented, kind of less proto-punk. Although there's still that kind of classic Stooges sound from the first record. There was also more improv and jamming on this record. And obviously the inclusion of the sax kind of just changed the style. You have these little sax interludes and solos and all that kind of thing. So it was definitely an evolution in that regard from the first record. So, on that note, let's start with the opening track, which is called Down on the Street.
Yes.
And this one, very garage rock sounding, kind of sounds like the MC5 in places. Of course, a contemporary band from that period as well, from Detroit. Obviously, the Stooges are from Detroit. And this very much represents the direction I think you'll hear on this record over the three tracks we play today.
I see you.
Oh boy.
That was the Stooges with Down on the Street, our anniversary album of the week. Kia ora, Sam.
Kia ora. You're still looking at Funhouse.
Funhouse.
From 1970, turning 50.
Well, what about Funhouse?
Funhouse, yes.
Funhouse.
I hope you enjoyed that track. The next track we're going to play is number 2 on the track list, and this one is called Loose. And very much like the last track, this is quite kind of proto-punky sounding. There's a very strong driving bass line here and a guitar line as well. And you get Iggy Pop's kind of scowling, bluesy type vocals over the top.
Sure.
As you usually get with these types of songs. Hey, rock and roll.
Oh, look out. I went down, baby, you can tell. I took a rap at a pretty music. Now I'm moving to the street from the bed. I'm sticking deep inside. I'm sticking deep inside. Cause I'm loose. Dancing, baby. I feel bad. I'm a shaking loop. I feel bad. I'll be dancing, baby. Cause it's love. Yeah, I do believe. I'm sticking deep inside. Stick it deep inside. Cause I'm loose.
That was quite an abrupt finish, wasn't
it? Was,
it
was, yes.
Well, yes. So, how are we doing for reception?
Reception and legacy.
I mean, how was this received? I'm quite curious.
Again, commercially not very well. It only sold, in fact, I was reading up, and in fact, by the year 2000, it had only ever sold 89,000 copies worldwide.
Whoa.
Which isn't very good, actually.
Which is actually kind of interesting, because we got someone texting in saying that a local band of the time and a BFM fave were the Warmers. They used to cover the song, and they even added it to their album Hit and Run.
That's cool. Obviously people were interested in this record, and I think it's like the Stooges, over time their reputation's just grown and grown and their influence has just grown and grown. But at the time they were kind of a cult underground kind of band.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously at the time when this came out, people were very much tuning into like psych rock still and Led Zeppelin, hard rock, that kind of thing.
True.
And this kind of garage rock proto-punk sound was kind of, you know, at the fringes, I guess, in many respects.
Fringely.
Fringely, yes. but yeah, it's definitely, they've definitely grown significantly since then. But it was interesting because critically, the reviews were also quite mixed. I mean, Rolling Stone magazine called it an improvement from their debut record. That's being nice, I think.
Is that?
An improvement.
Yeah, I guess they liked the first one.
Yeah, but they said this one was more sophisticated, whatever that means.
Oh, yeah.
AllMusic also said it captured the band at their most raw, sweaty and howling peak.
Do you reckon that was like a backhanded compliment, though?
Yeah. Oh, this is an improvement. Well done. We'll give you like a C.
A pat on the head.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like when you do an assignment and you're like, oh, you've improved slightly from your last effort, which was really bad.
Do you reckon it's like they're biased against them, but they still can't say that it's shit?
Probably. I mean, it's Rolling Stone magazine, after all.
Oh, you guys.
Others, though, were not impressed at all, including Melody Maker, who called it the worst record of the year.
Fantastic.
And a muddy load of sluggish, unimaginative rubbish.
Oh, that would have hurt.
That would have hurt, actually. So as you can see, a lot of critics hated this record. But like I was saying, this is an example of a record which his reputation has just grown over time. And in fact, Melody Maker even changed their tune decades later, calling it the greatest rock and roll album of all time.
I would say that...
So there you go.
This particular album is like one of those ones where you listen to when you're a teenager, you know, when you're breaking through...
Mm-hmm.
Some music genres,
yep.
and you're learning a little bit, and I mean that's what I found with myself.
Well, you were just saying before how at the time you were like listening to Nelly
and stuff. Mariah Carey
and hip hop.
Yeah, and I was kind of like, what are you talking about?
Who are the Stooges? Who's Iggy Pop?
He sounds flat. Does he do drugs?
No comment. So obviously their influence is just phenomenal. I mean, they're one of the most influential bands to come out of America, and they've influenced everyone in the punk rock scene, metal, grunge, alternative rock. So many people have covered their songs.
They pretty much created the Ramones.
Pretty much, single-handedly, and the Sex Pistols probably as well.
Because they bonded over knowing the Stooges.
Exactly, and the Sex Pistols used to play Stooges songs, cover songs,
early
in their early days.
So
and of course,
banded together a lot of disenfranchised youth.
Yes, definitely. And obviously Iggy Pop, of course, still records and tours, even though he's 72. He still likes to jump around on stage with his shirt off.
Get it.
And his body has just remained the same as it did 50 years ago.
I was front row at Big Day Out.
Yeah, he played there quite a few times.
It was fun because, like, you could hang on to the bars and it felt like really serene because all of us at the front just knew that if we like let go for a second, that we'll get pulled off. And people tried to do it, but it was like the second row was just complete chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started bringing people up on stage. My friend, started crying because she wanted to get up on stage, and we were trying to like get her.
Yeah.
We're like, pick her, but you know, it was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. We still had a really good time.
Yeah.
But man, those people on stage just look so happy.
That's cool. And also, if you're interested, there's a really good documentary about the Stooges on Netflix called Gimme Danger. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's a really good documentary looking at their whole career from their early beginnings right till their demise. And it's really, really interesting. So you should check it out.
I'll check it out.
So with that, we're going to finish with track number 5 and the opening track of side 2 of this record. It's called 1970. And this one is kind of a continuation of a track from their debut record called 1969. It's probably the most hard rock sounding track on this record. And it also features some great saxophone playing from Steve McKay. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you very much for coming in, Sam.
No, that's my pleasure.
Hopefully see you next week.
Fingers crossed. See ya.
See ya.
Up above.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.